all just sing together. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Oh, we praise you this morning. We praise you, God.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the
morning. Hallelujah.
Kosa babire, kosi bababire, kumaso lorun bire.
Ikwe.
Kosa babire, kosi bababire, kumaso lorun bire. Kosa babire, kosi bababire, kumaso lorun bire.
Ikwe.
Kosa babire, kosi bababire, kumaso lorun bire.
Ikwe.
Eba mi gbọ lorun to bi.
Oba ma oba to ga.
Eba mi gbọ lorun to bi.
Eduma re oba to ga.
Eba mi gbọ lorun to bi.
Oba ma oba to ga.
Eba mi gbọ lorun to bi.
Eduma re oba to ga.
Mas olha o rubi ré.
Igual.
bí rẹ láyé àtọ̀run mo mọ sọ lọ́run bí rẹ.
Hallelujah. He is King, and we worship Him. Father, we bless your holy name. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you that you are King over our lives, sovereign, the Lord of Lords. And we humble ourselves before you, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Lord, be magnified. Thank you for your voice. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your authority. Thank you, Lord, O God, that you are Lord over all lords and King over all kings. Your word is final. You do and you undo. You cancel condemnations and judgments. and you grant to us equity. You grant to us peace. You grant to us all that we need to live life to the fullness. And Lord, tonight we just want to express our thanksgiving. As we surrender ourselves to your word and to the protocol of faith, the Lord, oh God, tonight, we will be better suited to embrace all that you have for us and to use all you've given to us to promote the things of the kingdom here in the earth and to establish your will amongst men. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God tonight for every one of you. No one here is here by accident. The word of God says where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. Let's think about that statement for a moment. Wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, gathered in his name because of him, he comes there. So it is our gathering that causes him to make himself manifest. And remember what we talked about this morning, the manifestation of God. Two, three of us coming together because of him invokes him to come. Now, he's everywhere present. So when God's word talks about being manifest, it means that he reveals himself in the midst of two or three that are gathered because of him. God is here. And it's amazing, he says, where two or three the presence of God activated is the peace of God. We said something, and we've been saying it, that the peace of God is not something you pray for. It is something that God has already given. He says, my peace I give to you. So I give it to you. So if he's giving it to you and giving it to me, it's no longer in his hand. It is with the one he gave it to. So when you say, oh God, give me peace, you're calling God a liar. You're saying, you're telling me you gave me something that you did not give to me. Some say, I have the peace of God. When trouble comes, that's all you need to say. I have the peace of God. Peace, fight for me. Peace, provide for me. Peace, do your thing for me. The word of God says, as we rejoice in God and we present our supplications before him, it says the peace of God will stand guard over our hearts, will garrison our hearts, will surrender us. But the thing about peace is that peace also fights. You know, you need peace to fight for you. And when peace goes to fight for you, it creates room for you, new ground. When a conquering army comes into a city, into a country, and they win battles, and they possess property, Now you have room to move in that arena where that army has already conquered and overwhelmed. That's what peace does for you. When trouble comes, God is about to create room for you. That's why Paul says, I celebrate afflictions. When problems come, that means I'm going to gain some more ground. God causes all things to work together for my good. Abba, Father, we give God praise. Everything. So we are not afraid of problems. We celebrate opportunities. New doors, new arenas, new spheres being opened up because we allow peace that God has given to us to go fight for us. Tonight, may the peace of God arrest every lying spirit. May the peace of God bring to every work of darkness and cause you to step into realms of grace and favor, that you begin to say thank you for this test, because this test brought about a test and money. I don't know if you got that. Testimony. You have to sue for pain and suffering. You have to bankrupt the devil. Hallelujah. You sue him. He's busy accusing you in the courts of heaven. Now turn the tables around, because you have a judge who's on your side. And you've got an advocate that has never lost a case. Hallelujah. Say, devil, I sue you. In the high courts of heaven, you are sued today. Hallelujah. The angels of God have gone and are arresting you right now and dragging your behind to the courts of God. Today I sue you for this, this, and this, and he has to pay 7 times because you identified him as the thief. Glory be to God. And the Spirit of God sees everything, knows everything, understands everything, and knows exactly what the devil did and how he did it. Glory be to God. We're going to win. In fact, we've won already. The Word of God says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even faith. For whatsoever is born of God, overcometh. Have you been born of God? Then you are an overcomer. Praise God. When the enemy comes, you overcome. You outdo him. Blessed be the name of the living God. Blessed be the name of the living God. Blessed be the name of the living God. Hallelujah. We're not called to be victims. We're called to be victors. Blessed be the name of the living God. Again, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. The verse that I want is verse 4, but let's take it off from verse 1. He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is the anointed one, the Christ, the Savior, the Christ, the Redeemer, the Christ, the Deliverer. He says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the answer, the Messiah, that one is born of God. So that's where we start. We believe, Jesus, you're the Christ. You are the one who paid the price for my redemption and my deliverance. You are Lord over my life, and you have defeated every enemy, because the Christ is the Messiah, the deliverer, and for him to deliver, he had to overcome. He had to defeat the enemy so that he can snatch you from the snares of the enemy. He says, and everyone that loveth him, everyone that loves him, that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. What is that? Everyone that loves him, that begat, that birth, loves him also that is begotten of him. This is a statement about our connection with each other. That not only do you believe that Jesus is the Christ and you are born of God, that you begin to believe also that others that God has brought into your company, everyone here today, is begotten of God, and that you are called to love them. How did God love you? God loved you while you were what? Yet sinners. You cannot say you're a child of God and not love sinners. You don't love their sin, but you love them. Hallelujah. You don't do what they do. You want them to be freed from what they are doing. That means you share the love of God. The Word of God says God's love has been shed abroad in our hearts. We've been baptized in His love. We've been marinated with His love. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. He says, we are lovers. He says, and by this we know that we love the children of God. By this we know that we love the children of God. By this we know that we love God's children. When we love God and keep His commandment. Wait. Come on, excuse me. What did it just say? It says that not because only you love God that you are doing the right thing, but because of the people that God loves, you do the right thing. That you live uprightly, not only because of your relationship with God, but because of your relationship with other people, so that you are a good example to them. Are we together? God is good. God is simply saying, hey, don't you be saying that you love me and that you're saved and be living like the devil before other people and causing them to be confused. Live uprightly so that nobody accuses God that He did not save you, that He did not give new birth, the new birth experience to you. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. You overcome the things of the world. The world no longer takes hold of your life and controls and influences you because your heart is for Him. Therefore, you are not an adulterer. You're not an adulterer. What does it mean to be an adulterer? It's not only because you sexually engage with somebody else, but God says that you belong to Him. You are engaged to Him. And when you go fooling around with other people and other things, you become an adulterer. Let's look at James chapter 4. I'm going to come back here to 1 John in a moment. James chapter 4, we looked at that, talking about prayer today. It talks about the battling that takes place between people because of their lusting. They kill and they do not obtain because they have not asked in faith. Verse 3 says, you ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. And we talked about that this morning, and we said that the statement that you may consume it upon your lust is referencing the fact that whatever it is that we are asking God for, that it has to be kingdom of God related. Everything you're asking God for, you must connect it somehow to the kingdom of God. If you're not connecting it with the kingdom of God, then you are asking for it because of your own loss. There's no connection between what you're asking for and God. So if you're asking God for, let's use a very personal situation, you're asking God for healing. Huh? The quickest way for you to get that healing is to say, God, I thank you that your word says that you are a good God and you have the best for me. Now my body is sick and this is not glorifying you. Me going to the hospital every time and they're poking me here and poking me there. They are thinking, where is your God? You say your God is your healer. How come you are coming to me? So Lord, today I thank you for the kingdom's sake. Heal me so that these doctors and these nurses understand that there is a power that is greater than any other power. And Lord, oh God, that by your stripes I am healed. I thank you that I can boldly say, I was once a person that had cancer, but now look at what God has done. I came, oh God, to this hospital just to collect my testimony, a record that you are my healer. Suki, that's how you do it, man. That's how you do it. You connect it with the kingdom of God. God, what are people going to say when I'm going through this and nothing is changing? Oh God, I only want them to say amazing things, glorious things about you and your awesome power, that you are the God who snatches people out of the darkness and you reveal yourself to them in a mighty, glorious way. I thank you that I am in the light, and in the light there is no stumbling. I give you praise, my Father. I thank you for your anointing. It has destroyed every yoke. It has removed every burden. I celebrate, oh God, the awesome, mighty workings of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that the stripes of Jesus has made me whole. I am well. Body, obey the word of God. I stand in the promises of the Most High God. He says, I am healed. And body, you obey that word now. You are healed. Kidney, you are healed. If you don't want to be healed, get out and get replaced. Parts from heaven, come replace this kidney. It's been stubborn. Get out, replaced. Amen. Glory be to God. That's how we activate our faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The devil's a liar. And I'm not here to prophesy about his lies. I'm here to prophesy about what God has done. He is the truth. He is the way. And he is the life. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, you're doing that to consume it upon your lust. He says, therefore you are adulterers and adulteresses. Do you know? It is very rare that the Word of God uses that word adulteresses. It is assumed that men are the adulterers. They can't keep themselves. They start moving around everywhere. But God goes further and says, there are adulteresses too. He says, know ye not. Watch this. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. That the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, who is an enemy of God, is the enemy of God. Look at it again. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? That the friendship of the world is the word of God trying to say? It is not as much talking about you going to befriend the world. It's talking about how the world is trying to come befriend you. The world is trying to come befriend you. If you accept the friendship of the world and buy into the systems of the world, which is an enemy of God, you become an enemy of God. But you were born of God, and you were called to be an overcomer. Amen. So when the world comes and tries to seduce you, you shut it down. Amen. The world is coming for you. We had a taste of it during COVID. And I remember saying to us, before COVID started, we already identified it. Well, they started talking about COVID in March of 2019. Yes? December? December, November. Okay. But in September, during Rosh Hashanah, we started talking about it. We are ahead of the game. Because God spoke to us, and I presented the word of God to you, and I started telling you about what to say, how to declare that no virus will multiply in your body. Do you remember this? This was ahead. Nobody knew about what was coming. But how many of you know God knows about it? Even though I don't come here and say, thus saith the Lord, but just listen. You will always get the information before the information hits the news. Glory be to God. I told you then, don't take their jabs. How many of you remember? And I said to you also, don't take their money. Amen. How many of you remember that? Yes. You were forewarned. I didn't ask anybody, but the Lord said to me today, said, I want you to have a deliverance service one of these days for deliverance from all that happened during COVID. Because I'm sure some of you did not listen.
I listened.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad that you listened. Some people did not listen and you went to take their jab. And the impact of those jabs are in your body. And you need deliverance. I think I'm talking funny now. No. You need deliverance. You need deliverance from what happened to you. What was put inside of your body? What was put inside of your body? There are things floating in your body right now, if you took that jab, that you don't want inside of your body. Amen. Because at any time, hear me, at any time, the enemy can capitalize on those things that is put inside of your body because you have a connection and you can be controlled by the power of darkness. You need deliverance. I'm not just talking crazy. I'm telling you the truth. Choose to believe or choose not to believe. One of the things the enemy accomplished was the capacity to break you down in fear. That's one deliverance you need. Not to talk about what got inside of your body. The attack on your mind, the fear, Because tell you what, I told you then, this is a test run. Did I not say that? Say, this is a test run. They're trying to see how far they can go. And next, they're going to move. And I told you about the epidemic that is coming, that's going to come in such a force that they will be burning houses just to deceive people. Huh? It's part of deception. Oh, so that this disease does not overtake, we have to burn the house. You live in this house? We have to burn the whole house down. It's coming. Remember, I told you then. Now I'm repeating it now. Don't get fooled. I told you, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, about how the plan is to get you to hand over your property. Did you hear me telling you that? It's coming. You got to be able to say no to the lies of the enemy. Because the enemy is going to come with his lies and tell you, you don't have this and you don't have that and you don't have this and you don't have this. Well, if you want us to help you, you got to give us this. Well, it's happened before. Do you remember a guy called Joseph? Yeah? You remember him? The one that interpreted the dreams? And before you know it, he was collecting people's properties? Hello? It's happened before. The devil is going to play that same game. Now you got to have your trust in God. I know that God is your source. God is your provider. God is your peace. God is a God who keeps you. Because if you don't know that, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the enemy of God will come into your life. And the word of God says a carnal-minded person is an enemy of God. Romans chapter 8. A carnal-minded person. So, child of God, you got to protect your mind. Yes. Hallelujah. You got to protect your mind. Yes. That is imperative. I remember years ago, God showed me a vision. And in this vision, I was taken into a room, and there was a woman sitting on a chair. And there comes this doctor. Please hear what I'm saying to you now. Don't miss this. There comes a guy dressed in his white robe, comes, puts a cap, like a helmet. You know, kind of thing that you see in a hair salon, kind of a thing, over the head of the woman. And there comes this red light, comes on, and goes off. And lifts it off and says, go. I said, Lord, what am I seeing? I don't understand. He said, have you heard of inner healing before? I said, yeah. He said, see that red light that just came on? I said, yeah. It erased memories from that woman. I said, huh. What kind of memories? It's bad memories. Erased, just gone. I said, that's a breakthrough. That's a good thing. It went into the person's mind and erased it. I said, yeah. He said, but this is what they're going to do. I said, who's going to do? He said, the system. He said, they're going to take Christians into rooms like that. They're going to put that helmet over their head. The light is going to come on, and they're going to try to erase my word and erase me out of their memories. I said, what? He said, but they will not be able to do it. I said, why? He said, because thy word have I hidden in my heart. It's not in your mind. Amen. Oh, Jesus. I say, wow. Wow. What is the point? Even in the good that the world brings, there is a contamination, and the purpose is to get God out of your life. I think about people in what you might call the third world. Why many times they experience miracles, they spend time praying and crying out to God for healings, and God heals them, and God does amazing things. People that are wombless receiving wombs because they're crying out to God. He says, see, there's some people, those same people come to the West and they get enticed by the system of the world. And rather than trusting in prayer, they now begin to trust in man and man's breakthroughs and medicinal breakthroughs and whatever breakthroughs. And they are lured away from God. Now they place their faith in man, not in God. The breakthroughs happening in science, it's not just happening for the well-being and good of man. There's that good. But the breakthrough is supposed to bring people to a place where they no longer have a trust for God or in God anymore. Their first thought is, which doctor is the best doctor? Which oncologist is the best? And which whatever? And they run into the world, and God is just a side note. I had this and that and so on and so on and so forth. And thank God, God gave my doctor's wisdom and I got healed. Listen. Come. I'm not telling you that doctors and nurses and the things of this world are evil. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you and I not going to God and hearing God first. What is God saying to me? How is this situation going to be resolved? God may say to you, go to a doctor and do that. And God may say to you, this is my problem, I'm dealing with this. This is a spiritual thing. Because sometimes the sickness that you're dealing with is not physical, it is spiritual. Some things are spiritual. You go to the doctor and they check with every machine they've got, every tool they've got, and they'll send you home and say, we don't see anything wrong with you. That is because it's a spiritual thing. Huh? The enemy shot some dart into your life that you need to dislodge by the authority of the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, God is saying to us, don't make friendship with the world. That's a carnality that brings you into bondage. Put your faith in me, trust in me, follow me, and I will lead you. Because the word of God says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and God will then direct your path. You have to have the word of God in your heart, not just in your mind. That's why the word of God doesn't say to us, memorize my word. Is there any place where it says memorize the word of God? It says meditate on my word. Amen? That's not to say you don't memorize. But if, watch this. This is important. If all you've got is memorization of words, there is an agency of darkness that knows the word of God more than you do. Do you know what that agent is? AI. Huh? AI knows the word more than you do. Absolutely. If you need any scripture, AI will give it, pop it out like that exactly. And if power is in words, and all you have is memory of words, AI can manipulate the words and control your whole life, because everybody is controlled by words. Now, Jesus is not just words. He's a person. And you have to have him in your heart. Have him here. Have a relationship, a heart-to-heart relationship, not just words. Not just words. If all you've got is memory of scriptures, oh, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, you're in trouble. You better know that here. Break it down. Know it. Meditate on it. Get rooted in the love of God and understand that everything God is saying to you is about his love. God is love. Hallelujah. Everything God says to you is an expression of love. If God says, don't do this, it's an expression of love. If God says, do this, it's an expression of love. It's all about love. And your heart needs to beat with God's heart. Or else, I don't care how many verses you can quote, you can be manipulated. In the days that we come into, you can be manipulated. And may I say it now? Have a physical Bible. Huh? Get one. I know I'm using my iPad. But get a physical one. I know of the word of God enough that if they mess with anything in there, I'll find out. Hallelujah. And I've shown to you here. Actually, let me qualify myself. Get an old King James Bible. It's hard to read. Let the Spirit of God teach you. Because even the new King James, they've already started messing with it. There are new translations. Things are lost out of it. Numbers are lost out of it. Update your Bible. The Bible doesn't need to be updated. Updating what? Why are we updating the Bible? So you can change stuff in there. A carnal-minded person, and that's what the devil wants to do, get you to be carnal-minded. Now, when you're carnal-minded, and the word carnal means meat. In other words, when you are a meathead, hallelujah. Don't be a meathead. Meatheads are enemies of God. How are you going to pray the prayer of faith when you are carnal in your thinking? That's where the enemy wants us. But that's where we refuse to be, because we are committed to the word of the Lord. When we are spirit-minded, spirit-led, the word of God says, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen? And if they are the sons of God, they are the sons of God because they've been born of God. Now let's go back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. It says, whatsoever is born of God, whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. So you are not allowing the world to seduce you. You are in the offense, dismantling the things of the kingdom of this world. That's your assignment. Casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that is challenging you from knowing God more, that's trying to become a substitute, know that thing is an enemy. It's an enemy, no matter what it produces. And in the natural world, there, in the next few years, there are going to be breakthroughs in every area that you can imagine. Breakthroughs, scientific breakthroughs. Breakthroughs in the area of medicine, breakthroughs in the area of psychology, breakthrough in governmental systems, all kind of breakthroughs that will bring us to a sense of a utopia. Wow, look at what we have done. Just like it was in the Tower of Babel. Look at what we have accomplished. Huh? Look at what we've done. Look at lame people walking. Huh? Look at that. We did it in science. We just put a chip in there. Now those legs are now moving. Huh? What do we need God for? Well, the greatest miracle is not that the lame walk and the blind see and the deaf hear. That's not the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is the heart of man changed so that man can live with God forever. Amen. That is the greatest thing. Eternal life. Now the world is trying to create its own form of eternal life. So you can live in a chip. Exist. No. Those chips will get corroded. Get hacked. Malfunction. So one day you are walking this way normal and all of a sudden you don't know where you're going. Your chip has been messed up. I'm having too much fun. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. If you're born of God, you are an overcomer and you overcome the world. And he says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. Whatever is born of God is the one that overcometh the world. So God is saying, you, your name is victory. This is a victory. God looks at you and says, you are victory. Huh? That overcometh the world. And then he says, even our faith. Even our faith. Our faith in God. He says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he, watch this, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Of God. You believe it. Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that? Today we have to be radical in our faith. Be radical in your faith, in knowing who you serve and to whom you belong and who gave birth to you. If you do not know who gave birth to you, then you will be of your father, like Jesus, our Lord, said in John 8, of your father, the devil. You're of your father, the devil. Oh, what? What are you talking about? Watch this statement in John 8, the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, where he talks about those that believed, and he spoke to them, and he said that if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you that continue in my word, you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth. When? When you continue in my word. When you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. But many times we act like the child that went to school. He's 5 years old, comes home and says, Mom, Dad, I don't have to go to school anymore. Why do you say that? Because I know everything. I know everything. I've been walking with the Lord now 50-something years. And the more I know, the more I find out I don't know. My life has been in the house of God. Somebody just comes once in a blue moon to church and they think they know. They don't know anything. When trouble hits you, you find out how much you don't know. Your capacity to stand through the storm, it's established in you knowing God. It says the people that know their God, they're the ones that do exploits. They don't get exploited. They do the exploiting. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. It can also be translated as shall set you free. In a sense, that word set and make is God saying, I'm going to set you free and I'm going to keep you free. Amen. That's why it's that the word is translated in both ways, set or make. It's where God sets you free and he keeps you free, makes you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and we never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Liars. The Romans had them in bondage. They were in bondage in Babylon. We've never been in bondage. Shut up. You're lying. Well, it was positive confession. No, this is lies. We've never been in bondage. Why were you in Egypt? Why were you in Babylon? What was all about that about? How come the Assyrians got you? The Romans got you? The Persians got you? Huh? You've been in bondage over and over and say, we never been in bondage to any man. Oh, yeah, right. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin. If you're living in sin, you're a servant of sin. Sin has control over your life. He says, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. Amen. The servant abideth not in the house forever. What is God saying? He's saying, listen, I am patient with you. You're messing up. You're servant to sin, but I'm patient with you. But there's a time when you get kicked out. He said, but if you're a son, you get to stay. Who stays? He that overcometh. The overcomer stays. The one that's always folding, every temptation comes, boom, oh God, I failed again. You see, we'll play this game only for a while. But after a while, hit the road, Jack. Huh? Hit the road. Because you're not even attempting to resist the devil so that the devil flees from you. You're allowing the world, the enemy of the world, to come into your life, into your space, and you're doing nothing to drive them away. It says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. How are you going to be free indeed when and being able to stay in the house? By you continuing in the Word of God, staying in the house of God, studying, meditating on the Word of God, so that you can be a workman approved of God. You need to have that. Then you get to stay free. Indeed. He says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word had no place in you. Seeking to kill me, kill my word, kill my spirit, kill my purpose, kill my person. Because my word had no place in you. He says, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Ah, there it goes. They answered him and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus already told them that. And so Jesus says to them, if ye were Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. If you are the children that came out of Jesus, you will do the works of Jesus. Forget about the trashy message about, oh, we're saved by grace and anything goes. No, the Word of God does not teach that. Anything doesn't just go. God is patient. God is not willing that anyone perish. But the Word of God still says, John 3:16, God so loved the world. Keep it here, I'm coming. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, which means that you become a victor, not a victim, shall not perish. Shall not. Is that what it says? What does it say? Should not. See? When I said shall, you accepted it, some of you. Oh, yeah, it's good. Pastor Zeno, who he said shall not. So it's got to be the truth. No, it doesn't say shall not. It says should not. You should not. Why? Because there is a place and a role that you have to play in you believing. God cannot believe for you if you don't receive his belief. If you don't receive his faith. He can only do with you and for you that which you allow him to do, because you allow yourself to die. And the Word of God says you have to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Kill it. Have murder on your mind to kill anything that does not align with the Word of God. Kill it. That's what it means to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And the Word of God says, if any man be in Christ, that man is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything is become new. And all that is new is of God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord. So the Christian walk is a walk of somebody who is alive, but actually is dead and is being occupied by the one who is alive. You died, the living, resurrected Lord, the Christ, lives inside of you. And he has overcome the world, and now you become the embodiment of the one that carries the one that has overcome the world. Praise the Lord. He says, but now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God. Did Abraham not do? You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Oh, yeah. First is Abraham, now it's God. You are not in bondage, but you were in bondage. But you hate the one that is from God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. And that takes us back to 1 John. If God were your father, you would love me. If God were my father, I would love you. And that's how I become that overcomer. He says, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You don't understand my speech because you don't hear my word. Seated in church are people that just hear noise. They don't hear the word of God. They don't understand it. That is not us. Praise the Lord. Because we're not forgetful hearers of the word, we are doers of the work. Hallelujah. This was all the introduction to what I was supposed to talk to you about. Better start. We'll be here all day. Hear the word of God. Because we've covered a lot of areas as we've reflected on the word of God this evening. And God willing, I will revisit this again. But let me wrap up by going to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Everything we've been talking about is still connected to prayer, believe it or not. Because this is the foundation of how we get to pray. And from this posture, things begin to change. And our prayer life becomes easier, not a burden. Because it's not in the multiplicity of our words that God hears us. Prayer becomes a discussion between a father and his son or daughter. A discussion. God, I am planning on doing such and such and such a thing. What do you think about it? Is that in play? And if so, how do I go about it? It's a discussion. You can sit down in your chair and just have a discussion. Just chat. Before social media, there was a chat room with God. God came to the garden every day to have a chat. And he still loves chatting. You talk to him, he talks to you. You get the information that he's giving to you, you run with it. Even in the preaching of the word, I have to hear from God. Because I'm not interested in coming here and talking about whatever it is I want to talk about. What is God saying? What do you want me to learn today? That's the important thing. And I've made a commitment to the Lord that if I don't hear from him, a particular thing that he wants me to share, I'll come here and I'll say, well, folks, the Lord did not give me a message for you today. Let's just worship. That's it. And if he gives me a word while we're worshiping, you get it. If I don't hear anything, you get nothing. It might just mean that we've been too well fed and we got to use what we've got before he tells us something else. Jesus. Hallelujah. So what do we have here? 2 Corinthians 10. Let me look at verse 3. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We don't war after the flesh, meaning we don't fight with a fleshly mindset. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They don't come from a meathead. But mighty, the weapons are mighty through God. Oh. Ay, 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 ay. If I start on that, we won't get away from here. But just understand, but mighty, they are mighty through God. The weapons that we've got, they are mighty through God. And its purpose is to do something. To pull down strongholds. Strongholds are mindsets. The weaponry that God gives to us is there to destroy mindsets that are contrary to God. Every weapon that God gives to you, whether it's a weapon of preaching of the word or the doing of miracles or loving people by giving into their lives, it is to address the mind. What is it attacking or targeting in the mind? It is there to cast down imaginations, images, pictures that have been formulated in the minds of people. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that is wanting you to discredit God or not to put God in his rightful place in your life. You go down there and you tear it down. You're in university and the teacher is teaching some crazy nonsense. You go after the spirit that's operating through that teacher and tear it down. Hallelujah. And we need to do that for our children when they are not able to do it for themselves. Because children are going to school now and they are being indoctrinated by lies, systems. And the devil has a long game, very systematic, very strategic. And we need to pray strategically for our children, for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren. And I will receive that in Jesus' name, great-great-grandchildren. Hallelujah. Pray for your family. Dismantle the workings of darkness operating to influence their thinking. When you're listening to the news, they're trying to influence your thinking. Everything that you're doing, the movies, they're trying to influence your thinking. The government is trying to influence your thinking. The world system, all of it, is trying to influence your thinking to make you less reliant on God and more reliant on the world system. So you need to cast that down and bring every bring into captivity every thought that you're thinking, bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Because if you give the enemy room, he will build a nest on your head. You cannot control birds that are flying. You can shoo them off. But if you become compliant, oh, I love this bird. I love this bird. Oh, it's a pretty bird. Oh, birdie, birdie, come. That birdie, birdie is going to build a nest on your head, and you'll be walking around with a nest. You got to clear up your mind. Say, oh, that nest thing is funny. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm saying the devil is trying to build a nest, an abiding place in your thinking system. You got to shut it down. The enemy comes and tells you, you're going to be poor all of your life. Shut it down. The devil says, you're going to be sick all of your life. Shut it down. You're going to never be married. Shut it down. When I'm even 80, I'll still get married. That's the problem. Shut it down. Anything that the devil says, shut it down. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Never accommodate the lies of the enemy and make it your truth. Don't do that. It says, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What is that? You cannot overcome the enemy if you've not overcome yourself. If you have not, by the Spirit of God, mortified the deeds of the flesh, and you are subject to God, don't think you will be able to face up with the enemy and defeat him when he's got something inside of you. Jesus, our Lord, said, the enemy is coming. He can't kill me. I'm going to have to lay my life down. And he's coming, and he has nothing in me. There's nothing. I don't have any Velcro attachment here. He's got nothing to attach to. That's got to be my life and your life. There's nothing that the enemy has that's going to be able to attach itself to me. I'm too oiled up by the oil of the Spirit that when the enemy tries to grab me, I just slide away. Hallelujah. I'm too hot and fired up that no fly can perch on me. You will be barbecued. Jesus came around and the devil said, have you come to destroy us before ourselves? Will you come to... I'm so hot. Fire in my bones. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Be energized. Bring your thoughts captive. Because not every thought that you think is your thought. Did you know that? You think you or every thought that went through your mind was a thought that was generated by you? You entertaining it makes it yours. Divorce yourself from it and be at peace. Amen. Thank you for being patient and attentive to the Word of God. And I'll continue another day. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me. Is there someone here tonight that says, you know, Pastor, I've heard the word that you said, and there are certain areas in my life that need to be changed, and I want to surrender those areas to God right now. I want to turn it over to God. I want to be what God says I'm already in Him. Pastor, pray with me. If that's you, just raise your right hand. And I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Praise the Lord. I see that hand. Hallelujah. I see that hand. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We rely completely on you. From the youngest to the oldest of us. Knowing this to be true, that if we're going to experience divine freedom, it must be because we are continuing in your word. So we ask tonight that that capacity, that passion to continue in your word be established in us. That we're not just there memorizing words, but that we're meditating on your word, that we're dwelling on it, and allowing that word to take root in our lives. We're asking, oh God, for a transformative work of grace. So, Lord, oh God, that we truly represent you in the earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we are asking, oh God, for an outpouring, a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, oh God, more than an outpouring, we ask for a baptism that we are totally, totally controlled, influenced by the presence of your word. And Lord, oh God, that the time that we spend with you, we count it as a special time. We give you praise. We surrender our lives to you. And we say yes to your word. And tonight, as we release our offerings to you, we ask, oh God, that you be the God who multiplies our seed sown. We ask, oh God, that your peace which passes all understanding be activated in every aspect of our lives, that we have the presence of mind at all times to confront the lying forces of darkness and see them subdued, put under our feet. For Lord God Almighty, you've declared to us that we belong to you. You are Lord over our lives forever. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I want to thank God for every one of you that took time to be here tonight. I know that I've kept you here for an hour and a half. I've been speaking for a good segment of that. But I've never seen anybody go watch the movies, and I think there's one now called Odysseus or whatever it is called. That's for 3 hours. There's different movies, 4 hours, 2 hours. You go to watch the football game, you're there for 2-3 hours. But when we come to church, when this message is going to be finished, don't do that. I don't think I'm going to go to church today. It's going to be 2 hours. Don't do that. The time you spend in the house of God, it's important. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. One of these days I'm going to preach like Paul. Paul preached and preached and preached for hours. Some guy fell off. Dies. He goes there, prays for the guy, goes up back upstairs and keeps on preaching. But we're so spoiled nowadays. You know, let's be the God people. Amen? Hallelujah. Come, honor God with your giving. And be reminded that we don't have Wednesday Bible studies until September. However, prayer meetings on Friday are still happening. Be reminded also that on the 7th and the 8th of this month, we're going to have special meetings here on the Friday and Saturday. Come and participate in this special meetings. That's the 7th and the 8th. And then, can we have that information on the screen, please? And then, if you've not registered yet for the gala, the dinner gala, please do so today. Go online. That's the gala. Go online and look for celebration.com. If you did not give us your email, you don't have the information. But if you have the information, go online and get that done. Somebody said, it's happening in September. We still have time. No, you don't have time because the hotel has to get our numbers so that they know how much food they have to buy. And they've given us a deadline, which was 2 days ago. We have an extension till the 7th. But I don't want you to wait till the 7th. Because if you wait till the 7th, the devil is such a bad devil, it'll make you forget. And then you don't show up. And then when I see you in September, I'll say, I didn't see you. No. But it will be good for you to be there. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. Enjoy His goodness all of the days of your life. Amen? Now, I am going to have somebody close in prayer tonight. Minister Reuben, come close in prayer. And when he finishes, I'm going to say hello to some faces I've not seen before. I see a young man way over there that I need to say a quick hello to. And
because you are taking us in a new dimension of coming to you in prayer to make us to realize what you have done for us so that we can access your presence and receive everything that you have given to us. I thank you for activating our faith in you and for giving us the privilege to know that we have overcome the world by that faith that is in you. And for quickening us tonight, O God, to be able to realize our state in you. Lord, as we have come to you tonight, we are praying The revelation we have received, that you illuminate our heart to be able to understand and walk in this revelation, that we may live a victorious life all the days of our life, that your kingdom will be established through us on earth. Father, thank you for this privilege. Lord, we are asking, O God, that this word, you water it, let it grow, let it bear fruits, let it manifest to the glory of your name. Lord, as we go this week, we want to walk in this principle of overcomer. In every challenges, in everything that will come upon our ways, we want to declare our victory through our faith in your word. Yes. You said this present word was framed by faith out of your word. Mm. Lord, we want to walk as your own child, framing everything by faith through your word. Mm. Do it for us, O God. Yes. And we pray, O God, the program ahead, the September program, people that will come from far and near, you keep them safe, that they will arrive here safely, and throughout the program, oh God, that we will experience your presence in a new dimension. And everything, oh God, that you will release unto us in that particular program, we ask, oh God, it will be manifested in our life. Yes. And your church will grow in your knowledge, physical, spiritual, materials, and every resources of heaven will be downloaded unto us. Yes. Thank you, O God. Favor us this week. Let our way be prosperous. Mm. Lord, we ask, O God, in the shadow of your wings, you hide us from every evil, and let your face shine unto us. Thank you, because it is done. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Possess this month. Walk victoriously. Know that God is for you. And if God is for you, the enemy has no place. Amen? So be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Please hold on for me. Please sit for a moment. Let me just say bye to those on Facebook and YouTube, and say hello to